between forces, the patronates, and it opens the floodgate to a widespread corruption.
I decided to run because it was the party that chose me to run and challenged me. And for, well, a youth leader who organized the party long time ago, it would be contrary to our principles to not accede or to not respond to the challenge. And so why a young man, Kapatiran, wants the youth to take the reins of leadership in this country? Ang problema, hindi tayo sanay doon because yung traditional politicians or yung matatagal na dyan that propagate dynasties, sila yung nagpapatagal sa sarili nila, sa pamilya nila. So, Kapatiran is making a statement. If there is a socio-economic force that could change this country, it would be the youth, which comprises 60% of the electorate. From 18 to 45 years old, there would be 30 million voters that will be voting in 2010. And so they have to have, well, a rallying point. Kapatiran wants it to be the party, and Kapatiran has something to offer. Now, I have to go back to history to tell the young people that almost all the leaders, almost all the Katipuneros during the revolution were young people. Gregorio del Pilar was 18 years old. Si Emilio Aguinaldo was president when he was 29. Emilio Jacinto was only 24 nung namatay sila, when they died, when they offered their life for the country. Si Rizal, 35. Si Antonio Luna, 33. It is really the youth that has to be woken up. Ang pinaka problema ng ating bayan, and I challenge you to verify this, is the apathy of the young people. When you have 3,000 minimum going out of the country every day, it is sad ang sinasabi nun. You know, wala na silang tiwala sa gobyerno, sa ating bayan. And buisit na sila. And so, what is Kapatiran saying? Yung mga may kakayanan, yung mga may lakas, yung mga nabiyayaan ng Panginoon, who studied in good schools, medyo magsakripisyo muna, ialay yung kakayanan nila, yung lakas nila, to serve in politics. It may take 3 years lang, it may take 6 years, pero the youth could get involved in the political mainstream, because yung paradigm natin, baboy na eh. The paradigm is only may pera, only may position, senador lang, vice president, sikat. Isa pang reason why we're assenting to Kapatiran's challenge is because we have to break those paradigms. Kung may ginagawa kang tama at makakabuti sa bayan, ipaglaban natin. Kung may ginagawa tayong prophetic, we have to fight for our country. Kung kaya nga yung byline ng Kapatiran Party, bayan mo, bawiin mo. I may be unknown, I may be unpopular, but look, there are miracles here. We did not commission the survey, but I will refer to it. The SWS survey just recently, we got 0.4%. And what? I was just introduced 8 months ago. 0.4%. Jambi Madrigal got 0.4%. Dick Gordon got 0.5%. Brother Eddie got 1%. So what is it saying? The people are looking for alternatives. And we are providing alternatives. We want the people to have a real choice. A real choice. And so, we just have to dare. kung mabuti ang ino-offer natin sa sambayan ng Pilipino.
How did you do it? Like, how did you rally the youth?
By, well, thank you for this opportunity to get into the online community. But you are a blessing. GMA this morning, GMA 7 interviewed me. 9 o'clock. They are a blessing. I was invited in Harapan. I was invited sa isang panong. Miracles happen. I was featured many times in broadsheet, widely circulated broadsheets. I've been going around the country spreading the message of Kapatiran Party to leaders all across the country. It is easy when you have money to pay. Just pay the big networks. Okay, I have a commercial, and then it airs 10,000 pesos per second. Pero it is difficult to love, to go directly to the people and share your message. Share your message that it may really be imprinted in their hearts. Mahirap yon. Mas madaling magbayad eh. Parang magulang. Ang daling-daling. Bigyan mo na lang ng candy. Manood na lang kayo ng cartoons para tumahimik kayo. Pero yung mahirap is turuan mo sila kung ano yung tama, kung ano yung dapat, kung ano sa tingin natin makakabuti sa bayan. Yun ang mahirap. At yun ang ginagawa ng Kapatiran. Kung hindi ito, di mag-popularity contest na lang tayo. Kung hindi ito, di pera-pera na lang. But there are prophets, there are people who believe that kahit na mahirap, kailangan natin magmahal. And this is what we're doing.
Sir, what do you think is the difference between you and Nick Perlas in terms of you were disqualified for not being able to wage a national campaign, and you were not when you yourself admitted that you were 5 million pesos
negative.
Well, there's a big difference. Personally, I'm 5 million pesos in the negative, and that's my personal and business liability. But it buttresses the principle that we're espousing, that it is not me who will have to pay for my campaign, it is the political party. And if that is the system, then wala akong pinagkakautangan except the political party. Which really, ang tinuturo niya is, dapat talaga hindi na gumastos yung kandidato. Kasi, assenting to the call is itself difficult. What more, ikaw pa yung gagastos. And so, yung personal liability ko na 5 million, I could pay, the business could pay for that because it is a liability of a legitimate business. I am into brick making, and it's a good business. But yun nga eh, I'm sacrificing that for the bigger fight, which is to really bawiin natin ang bayan natin. I could pay off all those debts, but right now the calling is to lead the youth into nation building at this critical point in our time. And so ang kaibahan pa rin is Kapatiran Party has a track record already. In 2007, Kapatiran Party fielded 27 local candidates and 3 national candidates. At ang nangyari doon, we proved to COMELEC that with 2.9 million pesos that time, no, for the party and 3 months of campaigning, we were able to garner 800,000 votes on the average for the 3 national candidates for senator. Ang nangyari pa kasi, eh, nalito yung tao, kala party list kami. Kasi nagpatakbo si Congressman Halasos ng Kapatiran para sa nabilanggong walang kasalanan, which won a party list seat. And so, we learned from that. No regrets. And now, faithful to the Filipino people, we're going back that we have to present an alternative to the people.
So, you mean that when the time comes for the campaign,
the people who are behind you all over the country will have their own initiative to campaign for you.
Yes, we feel that. We feel that because Kapatiran Party has what we call a pass-on value. The traditional politicians, they just pay for their ads, and when people hear it, they become numb, they become used to it, and they say that it's just part of the political, their political message, that what parang lata, walang laman. But with Ang Kapatiran Party, we provide a new message. We are gunning to remove, to abolish the pork barrel system, to give life to the constitutional provision to yung sa anti-political dynasty ng constitution, to eradicate gambling, to enforce stricter gun control. So we have a platform. Now, iba yung mensahe nun. There is a pass-on value. When people get it, we may have this much direct hits, but the phenomenon here is when people hear it, they text, they say it to their kamag-anak o kaibigan na iboto mo yan, Kapatiran yan. So yun yung alas namin.
So what do you think will be the breaking point when people will really feel that he is in?
You know, we haven't started to campaign because we follow the law to the letter and to the spirit. Na yung campaign period is February 16. So hindi pa kami nangangampanya, and yet 0.4% yung SWS rating namin. You know, we everybody complains about this country, pero yun nga, it's a moral problem, and the solution is to have delicadeza, to approximate morality, to be proper in your dealings. Ginagawa namin yan. Ang problema, sa sobrang bulok ng sistema, pinagtatawanan naman kami. And so, ano bang gusto natin? So, we're trying to really be an example to the Filipino people on how to get things straight for our nation. We're trying to really respect the institutions, respect the law. And sana, and we expect this, and I was quoted for this by the Inquirer, I expect that maraming magugula sa 2010. If not a win, and I'll say this boldly, we will get a substantial number of votes from the electorate.
There are a lot of religious references in your platform. So how do you reconcile this with the separation of church and state and not establishment?
Yeah, I'll let June answer that.
Well, you know, the constitutional provision of separation between church and state historically was more directed at the state. Prohibition against the state imposing its own religion on the people, and prohibiting the state to harass and to persecute its citizens because of their religious affiliations. It was never meant to be a separation. It was never meant to be a case of separating God from His people. And even the advanced countries of Europe and the United States of America have all their beginnings in a belief in one sovereign almighty God. And therefore, going back to your question about how do we this bombardment of religious insinuations about our party, we don't think we are going to violate in any way the separation of church and state. If at all, we believe that precisely because of our adherence to our Christian ideas and our Christian faith, and all these gospel values that we all Christians and Catholics have learned to live with, these are the same values that are guiding our idealism, our principles on good governance and the service of common good. We believe that any politician, any leader that divorces himself or herself from his or her Christian or religious belief would lack the moral dimension to govern. That's why I think rather than violating a principle, I think in fact we are reinforcing it.
I would like to add that in Kapatiran Party, we have a good number of Muslim members. Our vice chairman of the party, David Lim, is an evangelical. We have candidates, particularly senatorial candidate Colonel Hector Tarazona. He is an evangelical. And so, it is false to say that Kapatiran Party is a Catholic party. No way. But one thing about Kapatiran Party is we really respect the social teachings of the church to the point that we have adopted it. Because it is reasonable at this time and age to introduce to our people, imagine, unahin ang mahihirap at ate, preferential option for the poor in particular, dignity of the Filipino person. Imagine, yung galangin ng karapatan ng mga manggagawa, the principle of solidarity, that we are all in this together. What happens in Palawan, damay tayo. The principle of subsidiarity, huwag naman kontrolin ang mga trapo yung mga barangay. Hayaan silang palaguin. Hayaan silang mag-control ng pondo nila. Tulungan natin sila kung paano yun. Yun yung mga pinaninindigan namin. And this we saw that the Catholic Church also is espousing. So, if for example, Kapatiran Party chose a Muslim presidential candidate, the challenge is, or we would like him to be faithful to the Quran, which teaches to love your neighbor. Same thing. If we had a Hindu candidate or a Buddhist, same thing. Loving neighbor is universal. And ang pinaka linalabanan natin is the secularization of the state, which is happening in America and Europe. That tanggalin na natin ang Diyos, huwag na natin pag-usapan ang pananampalataya. Di tinanggal mo na rin ang konsyensya. And lastly, nakalagay sa unang mga salita sa preamble, we the Filipino people imploring the aid of Almighty God. So I would not say that is the Christian God. I would say there needs to be a higher accountability. Kung nag-swear tayo, kung kunyari, nahalala ko ng pagkapangulo, and nandun rin na yung presidential oath, who are you swearing to? Who are you oath-taking to? You are oath-taking to God? Because society cannot trust you more than you can be trusted. You are simply a person, a human being. That's why before the people, a leader swears so that he could invoke God's name and there would be a witness. At pag ginawa niya ang mali, bahala na siya. Yun yung pinaglalaban ng kapatiran.
I have a question. Me, from Carlo, one of our bloggers, sent in a question. He can't be here, so. He said in Harapan that you're 5 million in debt. If you can't manage your own money, how can we trust you with trillions of pesos in the national budget?
Yeah, as I said, that we long for a comfortable life. I have a comfortable house. I want my children to grow up comfortably. So, as a married couple, 1998 kami nag-asawa, syempre you have to have your own house, you have to establish your own business. The negative 5 million is halo-halo na yun. Amortization for the home, business debts, credit card debts. I am an ordinary Filipino na may utang rin, na kailangan magbayad ng utang. But in no way will I say na hirap na hirap ako at ano yung para bang naghihirap ako at papasok ko sa politika. No way. I declared it because it's true. But hinihiwalay ko, may disiplina kami para hiwalayin yung personal ko at yung mission ko. Yung buhay ko is just simple lang. Pero dahil sa ako'y hinirang ng kapatiran, may kailangan akong gawin. Sacrifice muna ito. But let me state this for the record. Presidential candidate ako of ang kapatiran. I never went to anybody soliciting funds or asking funds for myself. It is the party where all the funds go to. Now, how will I manage the national debt? My record will speak for itself. I believe in honesty. I believe in trustworthiness. I believe in good governance, transparency, accountability. These are the principles I believe in. These are the principles that guide our party. So we manage the national debt by observing these principles. Yung utang ko pang personal, babayaran ko yan. Walang problema. In fact, I have a thriving brick business. Sa totoo lang, isang proyekto lang yan. But yung problema ng bayan, kailangan we are guided by those principles. Transparency, accountability, the politics of virtue, the politics of duty, the politics of conscience, pinaka-importante.
When you make decisions, let's say you're president and you need to make a decision, does it always have to be the decision of the party?
As much as practicable, of course, you will have to dialogue and get a consensus as much as practicable.
Of the party only or of several other?
Well, that's why you have a cabinet. That is founded on the principle that the president is also human and he does not know everything. And so, as far as practicable, we will try to get the best. We will have synergological decision making process.
Not mainly from kapatiran but from outside.
Of course.
My follow up question to that debt. It's not exactly a debt. It's more of like investments, right?
Yes.
So you're able to balance your assets and liabilities because it was not clear if that 5 million was just frivolous expense or what.
Yeah.
Well, so the way you explained it, it was you had some investments and then a business and then the usual housing. The same blogger is asking this question. Inharapan, you said that the first things you'd do if you won is that you'd go on a one-week retreat. Why? Does this mean you don't have an idea on what you'll do if you're elected? Just a clarification.
Yeah.
Because you had that enough time in Harapan, you just want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I said that, parang I didn't say 1 week. I didn't say 1 week. I said I will go on a retreat probably. So ang ibig sabihin nun, well, probably I was just being candid. It's like the shock of being elected and all the rigors that you went through, you got elected.
Mm-hmm.
You will think now you have all the burdens of the whole nation. But if you ask me again now, when I say retreat, probably I'll go on a one-day retreat to really recollect and to just parang mag-iisip ka eh. na, oh, ikaw na ang presidente ng Pilipinas. Pero may kadugtong yun yung sinabi ko, that this is to pray and gather strength so that I could ask the Filipino people to be one with me in humbly accepting the problems of the country and being one with me in the solutions that we need to do. And so, if I will answer that again, I will do that, but the 100 days will be spent on making sure na nagkakaisa ako with the party, at yung ako, the party, and the people in the values and the principles na kailangan namang gawin para sa bayan. So, we will go on a massive values formation campaign. Kasi, it's so easy to say, gagawin ko to, gagawin ko yan. Pero, pag hindi kayo nagkakaisa as a nation, hindi rin magagawa eh. So, kailangan ma-communicate sa taong bayan na ito ang mga kailangan natin gawin. Ito yung mga prinsipyo which are the moral moorings in which we will work.
Okay, so we can move on to another question from Twitter.
Certain issue is acceptable or not by, to me, the reasonableness of it. The reasonableness. The legality, the morality issue. Now, if for example, somebody is pushing for divorce, then actually politics is really asserting our value system in society. And that's what we're doing. This is our value system, so we're fighting for it, and we're getting into the political mainstream, and we're telling the people why. And so, if for example, there is a segment in society that's clamoring for divorce, I will respect them. I will listen to them. But to me, right now, divorce would go against the Constitution, because in the Constitution, nakalagay doon that the state shall guarantee or shall ensure that the family, and that would include marriage, would be a basic social, autonomous social unit, institution. And in the civil code provisions, the state would protect marriage. And so if you allow divorce, like in the United States, one out of two marriages end up in divorce. When you allow divorce, then in my mind, you are not exactly protecting that institution. Nevertheless, the particular segment in society should assert what the arguments. And I believe in free speech. I believe in the freedom of expression. And I will listen as a president.
And how about the RH bill?
The RH bill, I went against the RH. It is premised, and you go through all the bills, on overpopulation. Now, overpopulation, and we could go online for this to get into to really fathom the issues, is a myth. Is a myth. For how... siguro there is an over-concentration of people in a given area. Pero to say that the Philippines is overpopulated, ni NEDA nga, hindi niya sinasabi yun eh. NEDA, there is no categorical statement from government that we're overpopulated. And look, I opposed the reproductive health bill in Olong, ordinance in Olongapo City, because imagine the city planning officer with the mayor were saying that Olongapo City is overpopulated. They even put so many tarpaulins all over the city. Olongapo City has 200,000 people. Olongapo City SBMA is as big as Singapore. Singapore has 7 million people. And they're not saying they are overpopulated. In fact, they are begging their people, their married couples, to make more babies. Kasi kulang na nga sila, and they have a very lax migration policy because they want more people now. And so yun yung, I could go on and on, pero I'll let you na say something.
Well, the question, I go back to the question about possible conflict between Maristan and Kapatiran and making policy decisions, and what the church would say on the same issues. And an example was raised on, for example, on divorce. Now, divorce, the civil code in this country has been revised to now include practically a relative divorce, right? They have expanded on the grounds for either party going to court to even invalidate a marriage and declare it void from the very beginning. And as far as separation is concerned, they have expanded the grounds for it to even now include incompatibility. Now, divorce is a very complex issue. It is replete with so many collateral issues. And even the church itself allows a divorce, but you have to go to a church tribunal to establish your case. So as far as that example goes, my mind is open to it in some cases, but it has to be very strictly monitored, because the trend of countries that have allowed divorce is that they have become very loose about religions. They become very liberal, so that divorce has now become a case of, if you get tired of your shirt, go and change your shirt, you know, thereby wreaking havoc on the families. And we in Kapatiran are very strong on preserving the harmony and the family values, so that if divorce will in any way jeopardize the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of families, then we will oppose it to the very marrow of our bones. But to the extent that the union between a husband and wife has reached a point where it is really beyond repair, then I would say that the same grounds that our church, the same procedure that it follows in processing divorce among two Catholic couples, or a Catholic man and a Catholic woman, going before a church tribunal, I would like to see that the strictness of that procedure should always be applied. Should also be applied. Now, in the case of RH, there are many reasons why we oppose RH. But the number one reason that I think is really, to me, is a grand deception, is that the proponents of RH are equating population issues with poverty. And that, to me, is a grand deception, because there has never been a linkage between poverty and so-called overpopulation. In fact, there is there's a plenty of evidence to show that what correlates to poverty is actually the corruption in this country. It has nothing to do with having more Filipino babies. And the second thing I'd like to say on that point is that we are now saying that we have too many Filipinos, and yet it is the same number of Filipinos that have saved the country a number of times from economic and financial crisis because of our overseas workers' remittances. And since when has a country ever has the right to say
that too many people has become a liability, whereas the opposite should be true, that the people of any given country should be its number one asset. So why are you now saying that we have too many Filipinos and therefore we should now go into abortive fashions, contraceptive pills, and even leading to a abortion?
Can you reject it in its entirety, or what about sex education, so that the children be informed about the process?
Sex education. I have seen the modules of the decks that they have to promote sex education, and I already said this before. I find it offensive. I find it pornographic, and I wouldn't want my children to be subject to that. And I believe that sex education is the domain of parents. Maybe anatomy and physiology, maybe biology, but sex education should be left for the parents to do for their children.
I'll connect that. I had a blog entry on that, sex education should be left to the parents. And a lot of parents objected to it because they don't know what sex education, because the schools also didn't teach them. They don't even know their bodies. And when I mentioned that I had sex education from my parents, they were surprised because not many parents do that. So, I don't know. So, in this case, if you're against the R.H. Bilesa law, what if Congress approves it? What will happen? What will be your stand in it? Still the same?
I will respect. It's a majority decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect institutions, and I will respect it. However, as president is elected,
right,
it is my right to say what I feel, and I will state my mind, and I will tell the people why I feel that. But as to the implementation of the law, I will respect it.
Can I say something to that?
Yes.
Are you asking the question of if the Congress should pass the RH?
Yes, RH. Okay. What will you do as president?
Well,
or vice?
Well, not as president, yes, but as the Kapatiran Party,
mm-hmm,
will question the constitutionality of that law in the Supreme Court. Because the battle is not won or lost simply because it has been made a law. If the RH, the way it is worded today, and that's my premise, you know, if the way it's worded today is the way it's going to be legislated and passed as a law, then we are going to bring it to court.
No, but aren't you considering changing it before bringing it to the Supreme Court? I mean, isn't that the shortest
that's
way?
That's exactly what we are doing in conjunction with the pro-life movement.
Right.
We are trying to have congressmen take a second look at the proposed legislation,
yes,
and listen to us. We have made some headways, like, for instance, they have changed some of the wordings of the law, but still a lot of the objectionable features are still there, and we would like... That's besides, we are saying that if the aim of the law is the health, because it says reproductive health of the mothers, then we don't need this kind of law, you know. But what we are seeing is that on the surface, it aims to address the health of the mother, but at the same time, it is really what it actually is. It is a population management legislation, very little to do with the reproductive health. So if the way it is worded today is that, and that's the way it's going to be passed into a law.
Also, in that case, do you have, because as part of the United Nations Millennium Development Program, do you have plans for maternal health and the reduction of infant mortality? The president will report in 2015.
Yeah, well, you know, there is a difference between reproductive health and healthy reproduction.
Okay.
we are all for healthy reproduction. But, you know, when UNFPA, United Fund for Population Activities, when World Health Organization, when USAID tells us, hey, you have to limit your population, you know, I think it goes against our national policy, goes against local government autonomy. It violates marriage and family. No, maternal health, we need more doctors, we need better facilities in the provinces. We need not have the reproductive health code. By the way, yung definition ng reproductive health code, complete state of physical, mental, social well-being concern, not mere absence of disease concerning reproductive system. Parang there's a dualism, ano? Yung what you do to the body could be separated from you. When you are for, when the government starts funding for pills, IUDs, contraceptive devices, vasectomies, ligation, ano ba gusto natin mangyari? Who are the ones telling us na kailangan natin magbawas ng tao? Is it we or is it mga banyaga, yung mga foreigners? Okay. For example, magbabawas tayo ng tao. How many ba? Oh, we are, let's say, 90 million today. How much do we want? 60 million? 50 million? And sino ang babawasan? Siyempre, mahihirap. Okay? I mean, when I oppose this, si mayor naman, hindi naman magpapabasectomy. Si councilor naman, hindi naman magpapabasectomy. Yung target nito, mga mahihirap. Ang sinasabi niya ultimately, pag mabubuhay ka dito sa mundo, syempre dapat galing ka sa magandang pamilya, may pera ka na, para maalagaan ka. Imbis na labanan ng gobyerno yung katiwalian, mismanagement, asikasuhin niyo yung natural resources niya, asikasuhin niyo yung human resource development, ginagawang whipping boy yung population question. Ang dami-daming lupa. I go around the country. Go to Subic, sa kanan, sa kaliwa. Vast lands. Pero sino mga may-ari naman? Yun ang mga tanong.
What is your program for maternal health? Because that's actually different from reproductive health. Maternal health is, a lot of mothers are dying because they're always pregnant, or children are dying because they're not well-fed or not breastfed. So these are questions of global concern.
Yeah.
Do you have a program for it?
Better facilities in barangay health centers,
right.
More doctors in barangays. We have more education. You know what? Cory Aquino signed an executive order na ang sinasabi is regulating the advertising of canned milk.
Yes,
pero hindi na susunod. Kasi grabe yung lobby ng pharmaceutical companies. Pero simple breastfeeding,
right,
will go a long way for the children. In Canada, they give incentives for mothers who breastfeed. Kasi they know that the state will save so much money on health because of strong babies. Pero dito, napapabayaan yan. Simple breastfeeding could already not cause a woman to conceive, because 2 years yan, my wife practices breastfeeding, so yung gap ng mga anak namin 11, 9, and 7, 2 years, natural. So there are many ways, simple ways. Maternal health, that's a priority. The policy direction really is to protect mothers. In fact, I wrote an article, Servant Mothers, Humble Nation Builders. Mothers are really, really the ones that make a country great. Kailangan protektahan yan. Pagdating, pero hindi makukuha yan sa reproductive health code. Kasi kung yung DFAD nga, pag lumalaklak ka, they're promoting natural. Ano pa kaya kung artificial? It alters the biological processes of a woman. And okay lang sa atin yan. Ako, common sense would dictate na delikado yan for me. But I respect those who use it. I would say na you, the distribution channels could be commercial. Pero for government to pay, and dami-dami na ng government problema, hindi ako sang-ayon.
Because it's not just a matter of artificial, eh. It's also, they just don't know their bodies. So, you know, the thing about RH bill is also about sex education, which I personally believe that it should be part of the curriculum.
Well, siguro, if we would qualify sex education...
For, especially for maternal health. Yeah.
Knowing me, if yeah. we could qualify yes. sex education mm-hmm. to mean teaching them about their bodies about...
Yeah.
About how they conceive, yes. okay lang. Pero that's kung it. Sinama doon, and sinasama pa natin nila yung mga bagay-bagay like condoms, mm-hmm. like pills, how not to get pregnant, how mm-hmm. to take care, kailangan tanggalin mo sa curriculum.
Alright. So, in your case, it's going to be a thorough review and a
yes.
Change in some of the items. So we have another question.
Since people equate, I mean most of the people equate poverty with population. So now, if for us to address poverty, how will you immediately address poverty so that in the first year they would we could see some change? Will it be possible?
Well, at the onset, I would already state that no regime or administration could just do it in one snap. But, of course, we have to have a building plan. We have to have a plan. We have to have a direction. We have to go somewhere. Whom bodies? Where are we going? Kami sa Kapatiran, we have a written platform for the people to grade us with. We have to comply with this. Poverty, structural poverty is the effect of causes that in society that we do not like. Yung because of wrong ideas, wrong policies, wrong ideologies. So kailangan, kung yun ang cause ng poverty, kailangan baguhin natin yung assumptions about how we govern, how we are, how we look at the Filipino, may dignidad ba? Kailangan natin palitan yung assumptions of pananaw. Diyan pumapasok yung mga prinsipyo ng Kapatiran. You know, when a government or an administration would say poverty is kasama talaga yan, mali na kagad sa umpisa pa lang. Pero, sa amin, these are man-made causes. So, solution to that could also be from man. Ang gagawin natin is, number one, lahat ng, you know, when the national budget, 40% is lost to graft. 50? That's government figures pa, so we make it 70. Then, we already could pinpoint the causes of poverty. For example, may mag-i-invest dito, domestic investor or foreigner. Alam naman natin na kailangan dumaan, makakuha ng barangay clearance yan. Kung sa barangay pa lang, may padulas na. All these things that we don't like, we know it already. Now, how will we solve it? We solve it by starting with us. If, for example, I'm elected president, the policy is, manggagaling sa akin na hindi ako hihingi ng lagay o bribe o kahit na anong kickback, dapat malinis yung opisina ng presidente kasi that's where everything starts. Culture starts from the top, cascading below. Kung kunyari, yung kabinete niya, siya yung nagtalaga, syempre, kung malinis ang presidente, mahal niya ang taong bayan, magtatalaga yan ng mga malilinis rin. And no longer will be that graft and corruption is the norm. It may be the exception, but it cannot be the norm. in this regime, Gloria Macapagal Arroyo's regime, ang norm is kurakutan, katiwalian. The exception is good people, natahimik pa. Babalik ka rin lang natin. And then it will cascade down. And if, for example, the DILG demands a clean department, then we could expect that the local government officials would conform to that norm until the lowest barangay. So it may sound simple, it may look simple, but what I'm trying to say is, at this day and age in 2010, we need moral leadership. Moral leadership. Because the problems of this country is a moral problem. And the president should restore the moral order. By just knowing what is good and bad, black and white.
But you're going to get resistance at all levels.
Okay lang.
You are not the one passing the bill. One who is the bills and all that. You pass from Congress. Yeah. You go to the Senate. And through all of these, there will be people looking out for the president.
When a president is just so good baboy against graft, as far as practicable, as far as his hands could get it, then we are communicating a spirit. We are communicating a policy. You know, for example, when he hears that there was a single human rights abuse and he gets his cell phone and throws it out of disgust, it is communicating a policy. It is communicating a policy. So the president is 50% executive, 50% symbolic. Everything he does communicates a policy. Now, fighting graft. A lowly traffic enforcer gets lagay. Why? Because he could see that up there, there are lagays. At kung yun nga, at parati itong nangyayari, at yung presidente nga ng Pilipinas, hindi ako pa. I know it because I've been fighting graft in my city. I filed cases in the ombudsman, but let me give you the good news. When somebody fights graft, a message is communicated in the bureaucracy. A message is communicated in the offices that this guy won't tolerate kalokohan. That's the policy. See, the problem in this administration is wala naman policy na ganyan, kaya takot yung mga tao, takot ang whistleblowers, takot yung mga matitinong tao because kawawa sila ang umiiral yung baluktot na sistema. But if you have a president who will assure the people that he is clean and he has been clean and he will fight every ounce of graft, I really believe we will have big strides in our fight against corruption. And I would want to believe that in 6 years it shall have been greatly diminished to the point na we have set the culture. I would want to believe that. And let me tell you this, it is better to try and fail than having failed to try. Kasi ang problema, the problem in this country yun nga, hopelessness among the youth. And apathy, wala nang idealismo. Parating, oh, ba't ka tumatakbo? wala ka namang pera, wala, yung para bang, you know, it takes, the reason why is because it takes courage to be idealistic and sacrifice ingredients that could change a country, courage and sacrifice. Kaya kung sinabi sa akin, kaya mong labanan yung draft, talagang kaya ko at lalabanan ko yan. At subukan niyo ako. Now, people may not believe me, but I will always say that. And I am willing to bet my life on it. I did it. If you go to the ombudsman, the cases are still there. There, barangay chairman in Olongapo City, I filed human rights abuses. I really recommended the filing of charges against them. Everything is on record.
Can I add something to corruption? I agree, you know, the infrastructure of corruption in this country is so massive. It almost looks like to anybody who's looking at it, it looks impenetrable. You know, it's almost like it's too much for any one single person to do, including Kapatid Party. But it's also true that we have heard this said a number of times, a journey of 1,000 miles, you know, begin with the first step, you know. And this is the first step that we are trying to make. And also, let me describe to you what corruption is all about in very simple terms. Corruption to take place has four elements, you know. First, you have the opportunity. You have the incentive or reward for doing it. You have the parties who are allowed to do it. And then you have the absence of a preventive or punishment. So that a lesson that if you want to engage in corruption, then be on notice that if you get caught, this will happen to you. Now, if you would notice that all those four elements are in the Philippines, which make corruption, or it has made corruption a cultural thing, you know. So what I'm saying is that we in Kapatiran will address all those, each of those four elements. We will address the opportunity, we will address the incentive and reward. We will take away any reward or incentive for a policeman to take photo, for any of these scams that we heard about in the NB, in the national broadband scandals and all of that. We will make sure that the parties who will be running the policies of our country and managing the economy of our country will all be so imbued with the moral character and integrity so that, you know, corruption to them would smell like a fish na bilasanan. And then the fourth, we will make a punishment certainty. We will make it very sure that all the laws that we have that punish those who are engaged in corruption, we really get punished. The problem here is that it's only the small fish that gets punished. The big fish are just the subject of congressional investigations. After the congressional investigations, no cases are filed. Have you heard of cases filed after a congressional investigation? No, that's a problem. That's why I
judicial system, which is also corrupt, because we can only do it if the judges themselves are have integrity. But as we know, there are many regional trial court judges.
Okay. All right. In addressing that, again, I'll fall back on the four elements. There is corruption in judiciary because there is an opportunity. Okay? And that there's a reward for a judge or for a justice of the Supreme Court or Court of Appeals to accept bribe money. So what I'm saying is, we have to address, you know, pag kasi hinalak mo yung corruption, nakaka-discourage eh. Tagaya mo, no, the way I heard you put the question, talagang it's a very discouraging phenomenon in our country that, you know, it will make us in Kapatiran look like Don Quixotes or knights in shining on our white horses, tigitig. But actually, if we really take a moment to analyze what corruption and how it is gets started in this country, it all boils down to those four elements. So my theory, or my postulate, whatever you call it in algebra, is that when you have four elements and you start to remove, when you remove one element, corruption becomes more difficult. When you remove two elements, it becomes almost impossible to happen. when you remove all four elements, corruption will not take place at all. So we have to nibble, we have to start nibbling at all these four elements, you know, gradually, slowly. So even if after our term is over, the seeds would have been planted by then, the infrastructure would start crumbling down, and there would be a modeling that will set the stage for a clean and honest government. It's going to be a hard work, I'm sure.
And our goal is, and let me be bold in saying this, zero prevalence rate in corruption. That's the goal, and I'm not scared to say it. I may be accused of being idealistic, that would be a compliment. But anong gusto natin? We aim for the trees, or we aim for the highest ideals. And this is not only a challenge for Kapatiran, it's also a personal challenge. We want to live good lives. We want to have integrity. We want our youth to grow up morally, who love their country, who are patriotic. And so we start with ourselves. Kaya nga, Kapatiran's message is the prophetic politics of personal transformation for social transformation. The prophetic politics of personal and social transformation. If for example, I am elected, my goal is that the whole world would look at the Philippines as a country where politicians are true servant leaders. That's wild. But I want that. I want the whole country to recognize Filipino politicians as set apart, as different. Talagang nagsisilbi. Isn't that a great idea, a great goal? And isn't it worth trying? Sa akin lang yan. But I really want it. I believe the Philippines has a special calling ever since before. That it is a country set apart, that it is the only predominantly Christian nation in Asia because there is a purpose and that we are spread across the world. The goal of Ang Kapatiran Party and an Ang Kapatiran administration is to bring them back, albeit not abruptly. Of course, there will be damaging effects if you bring them without opportunities here. But the goal, it may take 50 years, but we have to bring them back and for them to find opportunities in this land, in our country. So, if Kapatiran Party, if their standard bearer does not say this, then who will say it? Who will? Who will speak for them? Who will speak for our ideals? Who will speak for our generation? These are inspiration from somewhere, but I am just being candid. But there are 10 million OFWs. Masasabi natin, what, 40,000 Filipinos are hurting. Kasi, yung pamilya na yon, ilang pamilya yon na sira, na magkakahiwalay. Okay lang ba yung social cost na you know what, there's a Guam build-up, military base, US base, sa Guam. Olongapo City has become a placement agency para magpadala ng tao. This whole government, the Philippine government, is a big placement agency para magpaalis ng mga Pilipino. Dahil walang oportunidad dito. Yung local government, yung national government, instead na asikasuhin nila na magkaroon ng fertile ground for investments, labanan ng peace, labanan ng crime, to maintain peace and order, labanan ng katiwalian, they have given up. Kaya walang investments, kakamot sila ng ulo, walang investments. Because hindi nyo inaasikaso ang trabaho nyo, bagkus, nagpapalis kayo ng tao para sa remittances na nananakaw lang. So, ang nangyayari, talagang hindi naasikaso yung peace and order. Hindi naasikaso yung health, yung nutrition, yung education. We subsidize for other countries' manpower by educating our people and then bringing them abroad. It's really, there's a problem with this country. That's why the goal, it may take 50 years, but we have to start now. There should be a program of bringing them back. Bringing them back here so that the family will be one again and that they will find opportunities here.
There's another question here. How will that administration solve the insurgency problems?
Yung insurgency problem, I was just speaking to Father Bert Alejo of Davao City. He's very much active in